COVID-19 may seem like a scary time, but when it comes to science fiction and apocalyptic movies, let's just be thankful we haven't seen Little Green Men yet. This week, we check in with Jeremy Giuliano, the GM of Galactic Greggs out of Valparaiso, to chat about our favorite apocalyptic comics, movies, and shows, as well as catch up during the current state of things on this week's Region Nerd Alert, every Saturday at 7 p.m. right here on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. And welcome, everyone.
Hey there.
I am Jose Rodriguez, a.k.a. the host of Region Nerd Alert on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. And if you miss this episode for some reason, or any episode, you can go to lakeshorepublicradio.org, and Region Nerd Alert is in the drop-down menu. You can listen whenever you want. We're also streaming on Spotify and Apple Podcast and
NPR One app.
NPR One app. All right, so first I'm going to go around the horn like I usually do for intros, and everything is sanitized and everything is clean, so that is very, very good and clean information. But yeah, I'm going to go around the horn. Sorry, I had a joke there. Completely forgot the joke. I succumbed under pressure. But to my left in the
goose chair.
The goose chair.
It's your boy Mike, a.k.a. Thick Boy, 3 C's, 3 I's. Find me on Instagram, Facebook. Follow my photography at singularityphotography.com.
All right. And to his left in the...
Not-so-goose chair. Did you guys imply that I need to make a soundbite for the goose chair, by the way?
Yeah.
Imply?
Should I make a soundbite
for the
goose chair?
Yes. Oh, if you want. Yeah. Okay.
You got the goose chair, you're in the guest chair, and then over there is the ghost chair.
Yep.
All right. Well, my name is Skylar, and I'm Olotho Von Allier on all social media. I do musical stuff.
Musical stuff.
That's it.
There we go. And he also does the intro and outro, which are the same song.
That's a spoiler.
On our podcast right here, which is Region Nerd Alert. So thank you, everyone, for nerding out with us. Also, if you're listening to this online, we are not live, but every Saturday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. We are there. So without further ado, I would like to introduce our very special guest today. And we have a plethora of topics to talk about and to be succumbed to. That's the word. That's the word of this podcast.
Word of the
succumbed.
Day.
Succumbed. But anyways, I have over the phone right now, Jeremy Giuliano. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all. Now, I guess that wasn't the greatest intro, but you are, you want to tell us about what you do at Galactic Greggs?
Yeah, I'm the general manager of Galactic Greggs for the last few years. Ever since our founder, Greg Karras, passed away a couple years ago, I've been running the show there. I do everything from ordering comics, ordering games, organizing events, putting together a booth for C2E2 for our store out there. Living the dream.
That's awesome.
Nice.
That's awesome. Yeah, we always love having comic book owners on. Like, that's our dream as well. Well, we're living a little dream, you know. We're having our own podcast, you know. But
sure.
I used to live like right behind Galactic Greggs. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but there's like the apartments on there's like that big pond, and like, the other side. I used to live right there.
Very cool.
Yeah, I used to come into your store quite often, and from what I know, it has changed because I no longer live in Valparaiso. It has changed quite a bit. When I went there, I used to be a big fan of the used video games section and the movies.
Right.
Do you want to maybe a virtual walkthrough of your store just so we can get a feel about what you do?
Sure. Believe it or not, we've actually went away from all used media. We have open up that room. We used to have records, used movies and video games. We have taken all that product out, and we've dedicated that one whole side of the store to tabletop gaming.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
So nothing but tabletop gaming, along with Magic, of course, which is the number one in the world for tabletop gaming.
You speak my language.
And then right when you walk in the entrance, though, on the complete right side of the store is nothing but comic books. When you walk in, you see to the right some Pop Figs just on our windows, and then our whole wall of new comic books. And then we have about 80 long boxes of back issues, which is almost four times the size of back issues you used to have in the store.
Oh,
and that's when we we're only two-thirds of the way through that project. So we plan to have enough to 140 long boxes of back issues available to the public at all times.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I got to go back there. It's been a long time since I've been there, but if the location is still true, that's a pretty bustling spot that you're at. I believe it's right across the street from, like, VU, right?
It is. It is. It's one of the local hot spots across the street is Uptown Cafe, a little coffee shop.
That's another place, yeah.
A lot of VU students go there to do their studying and such. There's a little apartment complex across the street. So, yeah, no, Lincoln Way is... It's quite the drive now.
Yeah, and across the street from you guys, I think there was like this like gyro shop, but they had like the best sandwiches. I'm sort of reminiscing about my time in Valpo.
Just down the street, around the curve, is a gyro spot. That's for sure.
Oh man, I used to go there and get big old sub sandwiches there, very cheap after work. Oh man, yeah, because I used to work at the Target in Valpo, so after long nights, I would go there and eat my fill. But anyways, you said that you were at C2E2, and I know this because I believe I met you there.
That's right. I was there.
Yeah, this C2E2, thank goodness that it did not get canceled, because that was a very fun event. That
yes, it was.
Like, I'm glad.
Yeah.
I believe all of us were there.
It was a great
time. Had a great time. And your booth was amazing, too. I seen all of your very great vintage comic books. And I think when I seen you, there's a bunch of people around your booth, like, eyeballing everything.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, it was quite busy.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us maybe a little bit about how you, I guess one of my questions is, how do you decide what goes into sort of your pop-up stores, like at these conventions?
Well, believe it or not, that was the only second time I've ever put up a booth.
Really?
On my own, yeah. I've been going to comic conventions since probably about for 30 years, before it was big and grand like it is now. And then I guess that's just 30 years of looking at people's design and looking at people's constructions of a pop-up shop. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of stuff in our store that we can use and utilize and still make it look not like a flea market.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nothing wrong with that, because that's where all the gold is.
Oh, definitely. I think someone recently in South Carolina at a flea market got an original Picasso.
Holy, wow.
Yeah, she spent like $10 on it, and it was... And then she's like, I think this is a Picasso.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, there's definitely gold to be sold at these places.
For real.
But, right. But yeah, the thing I loved about your pop-up there was, didn't you have like glass cases as well?
We did not. We had a lot of the higher priced books were behind us, where people couldn't get their little grumpy little fingers on them.
Okay, gotcha.
Their cookies mud fingers.
Right.
And they were graded as well, right?
Yeah, we had a lot of graded books.
I think that's where I was thinking of glass. I was like, oh wow, everything's so nice pristine,
and shiny.
Pristine and shiny. Yeah.
Yeah, like a third of our stuff was graded. The other third was just classic back issues, and the other third was just high price variants. Then we had a bunch of long boxes in front of us.
Wow. Yeah, I was like, we were definitely checking it out and very impressed. And you guys had a pretty great location too, like sort of near the front, sort of by like the hot dog stand.
By the food though, yeah.
And
that's the important part, is being right by the food.
Right off the main aisle, and we were pretty happy with that. Believe it or not, one of the showrunners, Gabe, grew up in Westville, Indiana, and his shop growing up was Galactic Greg.
Really?
So I don't know if our awesome spot was due to him, but I'm not complaining.
I was going to say, those corner spots are really good for in-and-out entry, because some of those places, especially in Artist Alley, like you can
get pushed through.
Pushed through and stuck there, and it's a kind of a madhouse. But so how, when it comes to those pop-ups, do you do any other like conventions or non-conventions, I should say?
No, it's just pretty much all we've ever done is really C2E2. I think we started organizing back in December, like right before Christmas. And then it takes a couple months for us to put together all that with at least the product we had in the booth. It's a lot of organizing, a lot of trying to figure out what books are hot and which ones are not to put up on the wall. Just making sure you have enough product to represent the store that you have back home. So we're trying to represent what we're like here in Valparaiso, right there in Chicago.
All right. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, take like a, it's like the mini ramen. You make the whole ramen in the spoon, you know, you serve them the whole thing. This is a little bit of everything we have.
Like a little bite, bite to the store. But so when you're at the conventions like C2E2, do you buy comics as well, or is it just strictly selling them?
The last couple of years, we were just strictly selling them. We've had plenty of people come up and try to sell books to us, but they're also looking at what other vendors are selling books, and they're wanting that same price, and that's not how we make money. We can't buy a first appearance of Wolverine for $6,000 and then put it right back on the shelf for $6,000.
Right.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
That's what, like, when it comes to like Pawn Stars, like everybody's like, oh, they're lowballing these people. Like, they're a business. They got
to
make money.
They have to sell.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Like you guys are forgetting that these people aren't buying this stuff to keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have to turn it around.
That's true. Yeah. You can't buy like exactly what it's worth, especially to a business.
Yeah.
Like, we know that with magic cards too.
Like, yeah.
Selling to, our comic books, our local comic book shops as well.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of magic, I should say. So Galactic Greg's, as of late, like, I know I've seen you guys recently had a post because of the COVID-19 stuff. But do you want to maybe tell us a little bit, paraphrase the updates from Galactic Greg's?
Well, due to the health scare on the world, we've decided to forego all gaming for right now until things settle down. So there'll be no longer any events in the store for gaming. And actually, we just posted today, which is Thursday, we posted on Facebook that the store is no longer open to the public.
Okay.
We're going to do curbside service. So luckily, we joined a POS system, which is for our sales and operations of the store, through a company called Comic Hub.
Mm.
And they are a network of stores around the world that will filter people's files online, so people can check out their pull list online and see what actually is in their file in the store from home. And they can modify their account. They can add or drop titles. And then from this system, our entire store is processed online. So if you checked out galacticgregs.com, you can see every single item in the store that's for sale, right from your own home computer or your mobile phone. And then what we've been telling people through this process is you can still make purchases through that and then show up to the store and we will drop it off at the curb for you.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's like an online layaway system, and the fact that it's all itemized online,
that's pretty dope.
Yeah, that's super cool, especially like during the events, you know, like a comic book shop, because I'm sure you have people coming in like monthly and weekly for their new favorite comics, and this way, they don't have to stop receiving them.
People love shopping online, and that's hard for
Britain. Right. Yeah. And it's been slow. We've been trying to make our online system a lot more cohesive, but unfortunately, due to circumstances, that's going to make that system better. Like, people, if they want to shop, they can shop from home now. And as long as the government allows us to drive around, we'll still be able to drop it off for you at the curb.
That's great.
That is outstanding service. That's great.
I have this image in my head of somebody buying like a Mana Crypt or something, and like them pulling up and somebody running out, dropping it off, and then darting back into the store.
Buying singles online?
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually sell singles on TCG.
Ooh. Really?
Yeah, we have an online category of a catalog of over 8,000 Magic cards. We've been selling the new Mysteries set that came out last week.
You just keep reeling Mike in. I see.
Yeah, you're really pulling the strings here.
So real quick, can someone explain what TCG is for the people listening on the airwaves?
TCG Player is an online trading card game shopping site. It's basically Amazon for, like, if you play Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Magic. They sell some other stuff too. Those are really like the main three, but you could buy singles, packs, whole booster boxes online.
Mm, wow!
So it's fairly well priced. If I'm not mistaken, you could also buy from other people directly from TCG Player.
So it's like half eBay as well.
Kind of, yeah. Like there's like I don't exactly know their filtering process, but I do know that you can buy straight singles from people.
Wow. So I guess since we have you on the phone, Jeremy, how does that work, setting up like a TCG account?
Well, we had to give TCG, the company, our credentials and all our tax boring information to make sure that we were a retail store. Oh, and that puts us on a different level as a seller.
Mm-hmm.
And then they set up a website for us so people can shop from home with our store, and then they can say that they want to do in-store pickup or just have it mailed to them. So if you're at home shopping, you go to galacticgregs.tcgplayerpro.com, and that presents our entire catalog, and it sells all around the country. Just recently, I dropped our shipping price, and I don't know if it's due to the circumstances in the country, but we've quintupled our orders in a couple days that we normally do in a week.
Wow!
So a lot of people buying stuff from home, a lot of people buying it and then picking up at the store, and then at the same time we have a kiosk in store that represents that same catalog, so you can browse all our 8,000 singles from one computer in our store.
That's amazing. We got to go check that out.
I'm actually pulling it up right now.
I was like, we're all cheesing in the studio.
These are amazing systems. Yeah. Being put in place.
I've never seen these computer systems before. I'm just looking through these boxes of singles, but yeah, we'll have to definitely check that out. Speaking of magic,
I'm on it right now.
You're on it right
I'm
now.
On it right
oh, he's
now.
Buying cards during the podcast. There we go. But speaking of magic, you said a lot of the events also got postponed.
Right.
And what were those events? Theros Beyond Death?
The next set, Mystery just came out, and we just sold out of that too, so we wouldn't be having any events with that. The next set coming out is Ikoria. That comes out mid-April, and that's when we would have had our pre-release event.
Mm-hmm.
Which usually over the weekend we get about 100 players come in to play that.
Wow!
Then a week later the whole set comes out. Well, Wizards of the Coast, who owns Magic, just announced lately that we don't have to have participation for people to buy the pre-release packs. With the circumstances, that will let us just sell the pre-release packs to the public, and then hopefully people are still able to come by. If not, we're going to ship it if the post office is still open.
Question, how does that work with the promo packs?
Well, they've kind of given us the rights to do what we want with the promo packs. We usually offer a program in our website. It's called The Package. If you buy the package for a certain amount, you get a pre-release pack, you get a booster box, you get entry into other events, and that's when we throw those promo packs in there. Or if not, we'll have... You know, that's a really good question, because we usually have events for those that win the promo packs. We might just save them for future promo packs. Because I'm hoping when everything reopens, when we come back live to the public, we'll have some mega gala event for everything that's been lost. Free comic book day and gaming events. We're gonna blow it out.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Because I remember when I first started playing, and this was less than a year ago probably that I started playing Magic, and I'm already pretty deep into it.
Great
game. It's fantastic. But I actually tried to buy a promo pack. I was like, how much for these promo packs? We can't sell them. I'm like,
yeah,
why not? Because I knew nothing about it.
Wizards of Coast, we signed a contract with them essentially that for things that aren't for sale you can't sell. If you find out, if they catch you doing it, then they kind of suspend your account.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I figured that.
That's definitely understandable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus the name promo, I'm assuming that's promotional stuff.
Right, anyways, yeah.
Nice little special holographics.
Mm-hmm. They are.
Foils. Don't want to get caught saying holographics around Magic players.
It's all the same.
I say holographics all the time.
It's all the same.
I'm a Pokemon lover as a child, and I still love Pokemon, but. Holographics, I will always know.
I think one of us got shut down at a gathering. They're like, it's a foil, dude.
I think I got shut down, and that's why I was so defensive.
I would have been like, what? Shut up.
Shut up. But anyways, since we're all familiar with these events, maybe the listeners are kind of like, oh, Magic events, nerds get together outside of their own houses. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Skylar, you want to?
How has Pioneer been doing compared to modern events? Is it keeping up with modern? Is it shutting down Standard a little bit? I heard Standard's kind of lagging now as far as people actually coming to the stores to play.
Well, actually, at Galactic Greg's, we mainly specialize in draft or snake drafts.
Okay.
And then Commander. We've promoted some Pioneer, but what we need to do is change some hours up to make Pioneer a little bit better for everyone. But I hear on the market is Pioneer is just killing everything right now. Because the game changes a little bit, because some cards that were not allowed in Standard are now allowed in Pioneer. And the combination between everything that these guys cook up is really making Pioneer a really fun time.
I'm loving Pioneer right now because personally, Modern's a little too pricey for me, and
yeah.
It's really, really powerful stuff. And you kind of have to have a little investment in Modern to be a viable player.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, like you said, when these newer sets are falling out of Standard, they're not really going into Modern. So like Pioneer's bridging that gap, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, you do.
I wouldn't be surprised in a few years that the Magic has to create another type of era,
another
type of format, because as these sets grow older, they're going to have the same issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just for the listeners at home, do you guys want to explain a little bit what these words mean? Pioneer, Modern, Legendary? Like,
Legacy?
Legacy.
See, I have no idea.
Yeah. You want to take the reins on this one, or?
I mean,
or Jeremy, yeah.
Yeah, actually, whoever. Jeremy, you run the joint. Let's hear it.
Sure. Standard is like the last known block for Magic. And so right now, block means like the last 4 to 8 sets that have been released. And then as new sets come out, Magic will set a date for that block to be put into the next oldest category, which now is Pioneer. So Pioneers will span back, say, 15 sets. And every set comes out every quarter of the year. So every 3 months, another set comes out. And as this gets older and bigger and grander, more sets rotate into Pioneer, which rotate into Modern, which rotate into, like you guys said, Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just saying that you have a set amount of cards that you can play from in the Standard format. So that's the last maybe potential 8 sets for the last 2 to 3 years. And then Pioneer is the last 6 years you can play. Just cards from those sets that you can play from.
So sort of restrictions?
Yeah.
It's restrictions, and like one of you fellows there said that Modern's a very pricey set or a deck to make, and that's what's helping some of these players that they say they want to put together a half-pricey set, then they'll put together a Pioneer. And if they want to be like a world champion, they're going to put a lot of money into a Pioneer deck.
Right. I've been building some like really gnarly budget Pioneer
I was gonna
decks.
Say, Scott, you got a really good what is it?
The Esper control deck.
Control deck. That's very, very impressive.
It was pretty inexpensive too, which I'm happy about.
Made me real mad.
Yeah, I think it made us all real mad.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's something we're gonna have to have a whole other conversation about with like when it comes to just Magic and like the terminology, because there's a
like an encyclopedia.
Yeah, everything that he just mentioned is what's considered a rotating format. And then you have non-rotating formats.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, like, yeah. This is just for like a surface glance.
Yeah,
for
just
the
like
listeners.
just like a peek in there. Like it gets way deeper.
Yeah, if you guys want us to have a whole Magic podcast, we will definitely have one.
Please,
we can have a whole Magic podcast, like the whole. Every episode is about Magic.
Dedicated. Please,
on YouTube, they do have it.
Please give me another platform to talk about Commander.
But speaking of, I guess, sort of going into other like platforms and like podcasting and stuff, you guys actually have, I believe it's weekly, like videos you put online on Facebook.
Yeah, we do our preview episode every Tuesday night on Facebook. And we need to start linking that off to YouTube. And then all our social media platforms is just straight up Galactic Greggs. So you find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube, just with Galactic Greggs. But yeah, we do, me and my cohort, Mitch, we do a little weekly preview of every book that's coming out that we like to earmark. And we have a good time with it as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, I watched a few of those. I'm like, wow, these are amazing for like a local comic shop to do that. Because usually, like, I also see you guys have like box openings.
Like, we've done a few box openings for Magic. Yeah,
yeah, I really enjoyed that. And seeing someone local do that, like, mm-hmm. I will follow that. Like every new release that comes out, like, I'm sharing Galactic Greg's for Aquaria Layer Behemoths.
Oh, dude, it's I love watching people crack packs, dude.
Cracking packs.
I got two ASMRs. I got restoration videos and crack packing. Crack.
I've literally, and this is how you know, like one time I was real lazy as a person. I dove so deep into Twitch one time. I found a channel that is dedicated, and they're considered a business, and all they do is crack packs on Twitch. Pokemon.
Like just opening.
There's literally just a camera facing a table and them cracking packs over and over again and just separating them into piles. That's all they do.
I know a lot of people get sponsored for that stuff too. And
all right, it's like blowing my mind. And I was like, all right, I got to turn the TV off. I'm sickening myself.
But yeah, I definitely love that type of content. And I'm so happy to see like a comic book shop interacting with their community like that. Because like we said, we see random people on Twitch and YouTube, and I'd rather see someone like I can go visit down the street, you know? And like,
but it's so addicting to watch cracking packs too. Like Tilarian College, and he does like the box game. Yeah.
What's the box game?
Where he takes the newest set and he buys a box, and he takes that money that he gets from the box, and if he can afford to buy another box, he goes and buys another box until he can't buy another box.
Oh, okay.
So he sees how many times he can replenish himself.
So the value of each box until it
fizzles out.
In a sense.
Then you have the people on the far side, like Alpha Investments, who crack open like $1,000 booster boxes. Ugh. Oh, those are beautiful.
Wait, what booster boxes are $1,000?
Oh God, you have like Invasion. I think
How about when we open the Alpha starter deck?
Oh, dude, you're talking Alpha? A couple thou.
Oh man,
$10,000 a deck.
I was about to say you're talking a couple thou.
I was gonna say, does Galactic Greg's offer an Alpha pack?
No, we do have some Alpha singles, but not an Alpha pack. No.
I was gonna say if you have an Alpha pack, I'm coming down there to look at it. I don't even expect to touch it. I just want to look at it.
Oh man, that's dangerous territory.
Suspended in diamonds.
Oh man. But, you know, in light, I guess we can shift gears a little bit now. We're halfway through. For those of you joining us, we have Jeremy Giuliano from Galactic Greg's, the GM there, basically telling us about how the store runs, different events, and we're just nerding out. Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. And if you want to listen to the first half of this, Spotify, Apple Podcast, and
NPR One app.
NPR One app. There we go. But sort of to shift gears here, we know like the COVID-19 is sweeping the nation now. I want to mention that just to document it. And if our podcast is the only thing that survives, I want them to know the log date. This is what's happening. Oh, this is during the COVID-19 of 2020.
But they find this. There's one guy that won't shut up about magic, and there's something about an infection.
But anyways, there's a lot of talk of apocalyptic type scenarios and people referencing zombie movies. I see World War Z. And
I'm so excited. I forgot you were mentioning this topic. Continue.
Oh,
I'm like vibrating with enjoyment.
Oh, I'm glad. But yeah, a lot of people are, you know, kind of afraid, and they're like, oh, the end of the world. And for the end of the world, I wanted to have Jeremy joining with us, pop culture guy like us. Basically, let's talk about some literature, movies, anything that resembles apocalypse. And my first question is, we can start with you, Jeremy.
Sure.
If there was an apocalyptic scenario, like books, anything, Isaac Asimov or George Lucas or anything, what would be your ideal apocalyptic scenario? And it's very vague ideal. Like, oh, I want to be killed off quick, blah, 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 or I want to survive as long, like...
I'd rather be, like, one of 50 people surrounded by zombies.
Man, that's a really good one. Probably, like, in Shaun of the Dead, when he's just walking around not realizing it's the end of the world.
You want to be at the very beginning of the end of the world?
Yeah. I just want it to come hit me.
I was gonna say that's a good example too, because
the slow realization.
And he's with a friend too the whole time, which is
right.
Because I also feel like that's like a lot of people right now. They're just not paying attention to it, and they're like, "Oh, really? You guys had a had to not have your sale because something's going on in the world?
You know what? That's a good relation, too. Like, people sort of, not exactly like turning an eye on purpose, but like, oh, what's going on? You know, we're sort of in that beginning stage. Maybe towards the mid-game, like, people are starting to realize, oh, snap, state of emergency, what does that mean for me?
Right.
Still going to work for a lot of people, but right. But anyways, yeah, that was a good one. A lot of people are referencing World War Z. I know, being NPR affiliated, someone from Marketplace had an Apocalypse author on, and he referenced World War Z, and he's seen a lot of similarities of how that started. And he's like, "There's some people are calling you prophetic," and I was like, "I don't know. I haven't read the book, so." But what I was thinking, speaking of parallels of the current state, 28 days later.
Mm.
And the reason why I say that is because the social distancing aspect of it, a lot of people are, you know, here or there on it. But I feel like, for a spoiler alert of that movie, it sort of shows, like, after 28 days, like, stuff blows over a little bit. Not saying that this is going to blow over
in 28 days exactly.
In 28 days exactly. But I feel like, you know, if we implement this, stay positive, then, you know.
I'm trying to wait it out, basically.
The virus will starve. But yeah, how about you, Mike?
I don't know. It's there's a couple that I like. One of the main ones I've been following recently is a Twitter account called The Sun Vanished.
Ooh, and I think you've talked about that before.
I might have. It is just a Twitter account that logs one person's journey through the world. Just one day, the sun just disappeared, just was gone. And like, after a while of looking around, like trying to figure out what's going on, they started introducing aliens,
mm-hmm.
and like the weird like cult worshiping of aliens. Like it's a weird Twitter account.
So you want to worship aliens?
Yes,
in a post-apocalyptic.
I am willing to accept them as my god.
I'm also fine with that.
If you can make it here from wherever you were, I'm yours.
I was like, we definitely need to have another episode about that sort of thing, like cryptic mysteries of the
stuff.
Yeah. Because there's some cryptid stuff in Indiana as well. I don't know if you guys knew, but there's a giant turtle, like turtle monster, somewhere in Indiana. I think it's closer to southern Indiana.
Like, are we talking about the one from It, the big galactic turtle?
The galactic turtle. I don't know.
I forget his name, but...
Was that It, too?
That was a thing.
No, that's in the book.
Oh, in the book? Yeah, I didn't read the book. But
I forgot that was a thing.
Galactic. Yeah. But yeah, there's a real giant turtle. Well, real as in there's a conspiracy real giant turtle. Mm. It's sort of our Nessie. Indiana's Nessie.
That's lame.
But anyways, what about you, Skylar? What would be your ideal apocalyptic situation?
I'm going to have to go with like the first Mad Max, where it wasn't Fury Road, where everyone was kind of at each other's throats yet. But, you know, it's kind of the collapsing.
Sort of anarchy a little bit?
Well, anarchy, a lot of riding on the highway real quick because driving was cool. Desolate roads and, all that type of stuff.
Riding on the highway real quick.
For the people that don't know anything about cars, they're...
Yeah, it's over.
Yeah, no, you're it's over for you.
was it cops versus gangs in that movie, too?
It was road gangs, basically. And I think Mel Gibson, like, was a cop. But, like, the government was, like, falling out, and he was still trying to do good stuff.
He's usually a cop, though, I think about it. What was it? Lethal Weapon?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Speaking of this, 4 degrees away from Kevin Bacon, Lethal Weapon, his wife/girlfriend, Renee Russo, I believe her name is, she is also in a movie called Outbreak, which is on Netflix right now, and it's trending. Has anyone seen Outbreak with...
Oh, yeah.
Just seen it. I was at the edge of my seat. I'm like, wow, this is like the perfect movie right now.
That's going to be a watch tonight.
Yeah. I was surprised.
They cough in the theater and they show where the cough actually lands, like how far it spreads.
Oh, yeah. They do a lot of good CGI.
Bro.
Well, CGI in regards to following
the
virus.
Myth busting in the movie.
So you see how the virus spreads, and it's
that MythBusters episode, by the way, is crazy to see how far a sneeze travels too. So
How do they do that? Like, do they paint the sneeze?
They put paint in their mouth and then they sneeze, and it was like 60 feet.
I haven't done that with sneezes, but I put flour in places to see how far it poops. But, anyway,
I was thinking about it. I'm going to change my answer. Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, Jose's worst nightmare.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Wait, the blind stare and the noise.
Oh yeah, that is. I'll
take
that.
You know why? Because I won't know it's happening until it happens to me.
Okay. Okay.
Yep. And then once it happens to me, I don't care anymore because I'm gone. That's it.
My first
something doesn't. I don't want to be like just taken and.
That's a good
that's
question.
It.
Do you
want to?
Do you want to know about the end of the world? Or would you rather be not knowing until it happens? What about you, Jeremy? Would you, if the end of the world was coming and the government knew about it, would you want to know about it?
Yeah, probably. So I don't have to care about certain things that I'm worried about now.
Ooh, you bring up a good point.
That is true. Right. I just recently seen something. It's like, oh, I got to finish this paperwork before the end of the world.
Never done 145 right. in my car before.
Right.
Oh, man. I actually have a Zombieland on here, but I realized that was a bad choice. I'm like, I would not mind being trapped in an apocalyptic situation with the Emma Stone. I'm a big fan of her, but I realized that was like a kind of a mass extinction event in Zombieland.
Yeah.
Warm Bodies? Have you ever seen Warm Bodies? Well, that would be kind of cool.
Is that like the zombie guy?
It follows around the zombie, yeah.
I hated that movie.
And he's like trying to be normal, and then one guy comes out and he's like, yo, with his fist in the air.
I really like that. That's a really interesting take because it comes from the zombie.
Yeah, from their perspective.
It's definitely like a rom-com. Like,
oh, right.
Like a horror rom-com.
So but, still like somewhat intelligent and like have communication. So
And it's the guy, I think he plays the young Beast in X-Men. And also he plays one of the guys in Skins, the British version, which is one of my favorite shows as well. But yeah, that was also good to bring up. But science fiction, I forgot the quote off the top of my head, but they said something about science fiction being the precursor to nonfiction or something like that. Can anyone help me with that quote?
No.
It sounds interesting, though.
I recently heard it in Thor, so which another degrees from Rene Russo. She's in Thor as well. She's the mom. She plays Thor's mom. I was expecting other people to go, but I didn't hear that. I turned the mics up real up.
I was gonna throw out a real bad throwing together of words and say Thommy.
Thommy?
Thor's mom, Thommy.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah, I know, it was real lame.
One of my favorite authors is Isaac Asimov, and he wrote the Foundation series, and I kind of like that post-apocalyptic scenario. Well, I guess it's not post-apocalyptic, more so futuristic, but I think they do reference Earth and how it is no longer there, and the next step and human evolution is to leave Earth, so to speak.
I hate when in science fiction they have to like abandon Earth and they name our next planet Earth 2.
Oh,
like, that's the worst thing you can do.
Not gonna lie, that
just
is
give it a whole new name, please.
Move to Mars, Earth 2.
I was gonna say we all know that it'd be named like Amazon or something.
Welcome to Pepsi.
Come on, realistically, okay. Like, come on.
Who's the richest man on Earth? You get to name the next Earth.
That is exactly how it would go down.
This is Bezos. The land of Bezos.
Sounds like a planet.
Now that I think about it, that does sound like a planet. But Oh, man. Anyways, just going the fight or flight. Jeremy, as speaking of comic books and science fiction, are there any, I guess, some of your favorites that deal with sort of this, not as necessarily apocalyptic stuff, but maybe, I know The Walking Dead has a comic book.
That's the easy answer there is Walking Dead is, how do you deal with this, you know, situation where everyone's scrambling to figure out what's going on? I mean, that's that's like The Walking Dead for sure. But I was thinking earlier, Why the Last Man? I don't know if you guys have heard of that one before.
Why the
Written
Last
by Man? Brian K. Vaughan, who writes Saga. Well, Why the Last Man is, instantly one day, every male mammal in the world dies except for this character, Yorick, and his pet monkey. And the title is literally the letter Y, and then comma, the last man, which is like a double meaning, like why, Yorick is the last man, and why is he the last man?
And just left all the females?
Yeah, and that's like addressed like an issue too. He thinks he's like in paradise, but it turns out that it's not quite paradise. But it's like 60 issues long, and it's like you're trying to figure out with him, why did every male mammal in the world just die one day? It's really, really crazy story, great adventure, a lot of mystery to it.
And is it finished? Like, is it a complete story? Right
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, it was. It finished up maybe like 6-7 years ago, if I recall right. But it ran 60 issues long. That's it's great, great read.
Wow. So do you guys carry that graphic novel, or is it something we can... Oh, well, there you go.
Check out blackgregs.com.
I think I'm going to do that, because I really want to know...
It might be a group get.
I really want to know why now. Like, there's very interesting.
There's another thing, kind of like The Walking Dead, called Crossed.
Crossed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Crossed. Crossed is messed up.
What is that about?
Crossed is about... disease or whatever, but they're not zombies. What they are is it completely the disease completely destroys their, like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Their like morality, essentially. Oh. They
reduces become, you to like instinct, essentially.
Yeah, they become like the worst people.
Is it sort of like a zombie thing?
Or? No, they're still like alive. They're pure instinct and just merciless and whatever they do. And they're called the Crossed because when you get infected, you actually have a cross that's like burnt into your face.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and they're still intelligent. They still like set up traps, speak, do all this other stuff. It's just I don't want to use the word crazy because it's not good, but they're like,
is it kind of like Bird Box, how there was like the people that like were trying to get other people to look at the thing? Like,
yes, but more homicidal.
I think Garth Ennis writes that, who was the creator of The Boys.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe that's Garth Ennis.
Oh, wow. So are you a fan of the Boys show that came out?
I'm a fan of the show, but the comic is a lot better.
A lot better?
I heard that.
A lot more visceral, which, believe it or not, it can be a thing. Once you read it, you'll realize it. Because the TV show is pretty visceral.
Mm-hmm.
The comic is deeper.
Yeah, I think Heather watches that show. I believe she... I'm not sure if she read the comics or not. But yeah, Heather's our DC comic girl. And she's actually coming pretty soon. We're also looking out for her because we're... Oh, she's actually here.
I'll go let her in.
You want to let her in?
There
you go. Well, there you go, Heather. But that's for our... Because during the whole COVID thing, we like to be transparent. We're recording a few episodes tonight just to, you know, just to get it out there. But Jeremy, in all of your, pop culture knowledge, do you have any survival tips during this time that you can draw from, like, comics or movies?
Don't panic, because if you're running, you're going to fall down and they're going to get you. always get you when you fall down running like crazy.
That is true.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Right.
I like that.
And probably listen to Max Brooks. I think he wrote a book or two about this.
Oh, I have it. Zombie Survival Guide.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice. Well, speaking of that book, if you have, what are some of the survival tips that he gives in there?
It's a lot of just like common sense stuff. Like the main thing is, don't get a chainsaw. Don't abandon the chainsaw. It looks cool, completely impractical. Your best bet is tight clothes, short hair. All right, you want to pack. Depending on where you're going, pack for where you're going. Don't pack, you know, 5 days worth of stuff if you're going down the street. Pack practically. Get a machete. Know everything about it. That machete is your best friend. it is your best friend. Period. End of story.
So is that like a novel, or is it like
no? It's literally like a how-to manual.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like it tells you how to set up traps. If you have to go out on water, when to go out on water, where to stay away from.
So is that like sort of like real? I guess like is it meant to be like fiction or?
It's meant to be like a real like guide.
Oh wow! Yeah. Like a survival for dummies sort of thing.
Pretty much, like it tells you how to make like a snare trap in there.
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But I guess speaking of other apocalyptic scenarios I would like to be in, I would love the beautiful, like, climactic ending. Like, I don't know if you guys are a fan of that, but not necessarily like a meteor, like the dinosaurs, but some huge, like, angelic creature, sort of Evangelion. I'm thinking anime now.
Oh, you brought it full-blown back to anime.
Here comes the Spear of Longinus.
The Spear of Longinus, which is a thing in Evangelion. Paul Borgerzowski would back me up. But, but anyways, yeah, not to spoil it for anyone. Well, I guess it's super out of context, but just a big angelic creature just crushing you in their hands or something like that. Not saying that exact thing happens, but... But I don't know. I want to see something like I know there's a lot of simulators out there from physicists and stuff. Black holes, like what it would be like to go into a black hole.
I've been reading a lot of Michael Shea about Cthulhu mythos, and you talking about seeing something.
That's actually what made me think
of
it.
Yeah, no, I'll pass.
Like
on
when
that.
It comes to that, like I would love to see something like that. Sort of takes my breath away, like. That'll be my final end. Like,
literally right where I'm at in this story, a woman wakes up from a nap and sees her dog being devoured by fish tadpole things. Mm. And she's like also being devoured by them. And she's like, oh, this is fine. Like there's a gracious God up there that's able to create this. And he's letting me see it. This is awesome.
Mm.
And she's just like completely lost it.
I was like, also speaking of Cthulhu's mythos and sort of things like that. I know you're our David Lynch guy. I would love David Lynch to direct an apocalypse right now. Like if he hasn't already, like
maybe
I
the most convoluted Twin thing Peaks. Though be weird. It'd just be a weird apocalypse. People be like, okay, I guess this is what's happening. The Earth is on fire.
They're disintegrating. What? Okay, I guess.
Yeah, fine.
But I guess what about Eraserhead? What world does that happen
in?
That's
kind of apocalyptic. It's really weird and industrial, mm-hmm. and
there's actually
you hardly see anybody in the whole film.
I was gonna say there's supposed to be like allegories to the nuke, like the bomb. Mm.
Yeah, that. the creature, the baby. Yeah. That's what they call it.
Ugh.
Yeah, there's definitely. I don't want to see any the Hindenburg. The Cronin, what is it called?
Cronenberg.
I definitely don't want to see any Cronenberg type
Hindenburg
stuff.
Hindenburg apocalypse.
More of the beauty, not the disfigurement sort of thing. But that makes me think of The Void, too. That's sort of...
Oh, God, yeah. I don't want to get like wrapped into body horror apocalypse. Forget that.
But speaking of The Void... That's an example of the beauty I want to see at the end of the world. That big old pyramid. The pyramid.
Give me the void, but not like the stuff that comes to Earth.
Like if I see Giza.
Suck me right into the void.
Like if I look out my window and Giza's just
floating
up, or the heads finally, what are those called?
In retrograde?
In retrograde. Oh my God. But, well, actually, yeah. So that brings us towards the end of this podcast. Jeremy, thank you so much for being here and basically sharing our nerddom during this these trying times.
Well, thanks for having me. It's real fun.
Oh, no problem. I would love to have you back too, like actually in the studio once all this blows over. And,
well, I'd love to as well.
Yeah, because it's definitely a different experience when we have the guests. Like we were talking about, we have the goose chair, the guest chair, and then the ghost chair, but maybe we'll have the galactic chair for you.
When I come in, I'll bring everyone a copy of The Walking Dead number one with the Galactic Greg logo on the cover.
Yes.
For
it.
What is
that? Store exclusive. It's a Galactic Greg's exclusive Walking Dead number one.
What?
On its 15th anniversary, all the stores across the country that want to participate can get their logo squeezed into the glass, and in the background, Rick is standing in front of it.
That's so cool.
So I'll bring everyone a copy.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I guess Jeremy Giuliano was joining us today on Region Nerd Alert. Do you want to plug in your stuff and when this blows over, what type of events you have real quick?
Well, you can check our store out at galacticgregs.com, and you can check out our magic singles at galacticgregs.tcgplayerpro.com.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're also on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and then YouTube as well. And then events, they just announced today that Free Comic Day is going to be postponed to later in the summer.
I forgot about Free Comic. That's coming up soon. Or it was supposed to be coming up soon.
It was supposed to be first weekend of May, so now they announced that it's later in the summer. And then May 30th was actually going to be our 30th anniversary party. We're going to push that back into the summer as well.
Wow, I'm excited for that now too. I mean, I feel like with everything happening with like the COVID, like everyone indoors, that's gonna bring a new appreciation of just like togetherness, especially in like the nerd world. Like,
right.
I want to be so excited. Like, hey man, like how's your deck building been? Or oh man, did you finally read this issue of this comic book? Like, it's gonna be very great. Like, other than us who are still together,
Dance
6 feet apart, I think, but
right.
Totally goes against. But anyways, yeah, I want to thank you again, Jeremy, and our host want to do our intros again?
Intros, outros. I'm Mike, aka Thick Boy, 3 C's, 3 I's. Follow me on Facebook, Instagram. You can find my photography at Singularity Photography.
Singularity Photography on Facebook, and you do a great job
on Instagram. And thank you.
No problem. And to his left.
I'm Olatho on most platforms of media. I've been painting a lot, posting paintings online, and I do music. I got music coming up in the spring, shows whenever this stuff blows over. Good stuff.
Awesome. And I would love to hear some, have another episode of your music. I know we had one episode a while back.
Oh, yeah, maybe I could play a set sometime for you. That'd be cool.
Heck yeah, I'm totally down for that. But thank you again, Jeremy. Thank you again for my host. And you've been listening to Region Nerd Alert right here in the beautiful Lakeshore Studios. You can hear us every Saturday on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. And we're also streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. You can find our older podcasts on lakeshorepublicradio.org. You can find us on Spotify. You can also find us on Apple Podcast and
NPR One app.
The NPR One app. The elusive. I forgot how that whole thing started now.
I remembered it one time when you forgot it, and then
that was pretty much it.
And then it just became a thing. Well, anyways, thank you, everyone. Remember, stay informed, stay calm, and stay safe.